by Jeremy Stanton.
Right. Continuing. So continuing in the second pasuk, the second paragraph of Pirisma, the Nosati, which is looking at the words and doing nothing other than saying the words. Occasionally the odd comment. Right, the Nosati, not the Nosati. The Nosati is past tense, and I have or had given, whereas the Nosati, stressed at the end, means that I shall give. So the difference in the word is purely where you stress it. Matar Artsachem. Again, how to pronounce a resh. There are different opinions on that, rather than the way I learnt from Rav David Moore, who was in Yeshiva, and he taught me to do a rrr. That is not, does not mean that I teach anybody else to do the same, I don't. But the point I do make is that there is no such thing in Hebrew as a silent resh. It doesn't exist. You have a silent R in English. Regularly, any word that ends in an E-R-O-R does not have the R pronounced. And therefore, because we're all English, we have learnt to pronounce things the English way. That does not affect the Hebrew language. The silent resh does not exist. If there's a resh anywhere in the word, it has to be pronounced somehow. So you go R, matar, not matar. Artsachem, not Artsachem, as if it wasn't there. So the Nosati, Matar, Artsachem, the two words are hyphenated. So on one hand it is two words. If you put those two words in the Sefer Torah together without any space between them, the Sefer Torah would be possible. On the other hand, the two words are, the Kabbalah we have, that the two words are actually joined. Matar, Artsachem, Ve'ito, Yore, Umalkosh. Ve'osavto, the same as Ve'osati, this is Ve'osavto. Any word, and you shall, and I shall do something, is stressed at the end. If you stress it in the middle, which is the normal way to do it, you've actually altered the meaning of the word in the Torah. So this is Ve'osavto, and you shall gather. Degonecho. If you said degonacho, it's wrong, but it means the same thing. Yotzer. Now you haven't changed the meaning of the word. You said degonacho because it's what we call pausal. There's a pause on the word. The Torah changes it to an air rather than a shavo. So it's ve'osavto degonacho v'siroshacho. Because of the shavo under the shin and the long vowel, the cholom that comes before it, and O is a long vowel, therefore it's v'siro shecho. So you've got the extra U. It's not v'siro shecho, it's v'siro shecho. V'yitz horecho. Now v'yitz, now ho, the hey is to be pronounced. We do have a silent hey. Regularly, a hey at the end of a word is a silent hey, unless there's a dot in it, or unless there's a comma underneath it. Then it's pronounced, but otherwise it's silent. But here, v'yitz ho-recho, certainly not v'yitz o-recho, and it certainly is not so-recho, v'yitz o-recho. Again, saying with speed, you treat the hay, people do tend to treat the hay in Hebrew as an H in English. In the same way you leave out an H, I'm not talking about if you come from the part of London that doesn't believe the H exists at all. Joking aside, I remember being on a 253 bus and hearing a computerized lady's voice, right, very lucky sneers here, there's a computerized voice saying this bus is going to Acne Central. I've never heard the word being said by a computer before. Right, the idea of the H being mispronounced or not pronounced at all, in Hebrew there's a hey in the middle of a word. With hardly an exception, a hey in the middle of a word is always pronounced as a ha. We'll come on to certain words where it's more difficult, as we'll see. So, here you have the yitz ho-re-cho, stress on the resh. Next pasuk, v'nosati, same as before. Esev besodecho. We Ashkenazim do not have a problem of a vase and a base, because to us they're pronounced completely differently. It is possible that among some of the Sephardim the vase and the base are pronounced the same, in which case if it's the same letter it's actually run together, which is rather difficult. Esev besodecho. We have no problem. Esev, stressed on the ayin, besodecho. Note the shavah, not shavah, note the, yeah, the shavah under the dalet. So, baso dechod. Or, the comments under the sin is a long vowel. If a long vowel is followed by a shavah, then the shavah is a sound one. So it's not baso dechod, it's baso dechod. So you've got four syllables in the word. Baso dechod. Liv hemtecho. Again, the hey there, not liv hemtecho. Liv hem techo, v'ochalto, not v'ochalto, v'ochalto, v'sovoto. Right, the ayin, to a, we Ashkenazim, we pronounce the ayin, we are to make it, an ayin is pronounced as a silent letter, and that we are not going to argue with the Kabbalah that Ashkenazim have, which is that an ayin, we try sometimes, I know Rabbi Avraham Gurovitz, Shlito, he does tend to say shemog. It sort of half sounds like that if you listen to him saying Shema. It's not Shema. On the other hand, we have to try and do something to show that there's an ayin there, but for we Ashkenazim it is rather difficult without having a genuine Kabbalah to do it in any other way. We haven't got such a Kabbalah. So try and just be aware of the fact that there is an ayin there, Shema. So a guttural, in some way you've got some type of guttural sound in it. So the Sovanto. So without actually making an NG out of it, the saumon top. Hish, interesting?
Isn't this a silent iron?
No.
Because there's a shavah underneath, which isn't
silent. No. There's no such thing as a silent iron, but we Ashkenazim have one. Officially, it's not silent. Officially. So to a Sephardi pronouncing it, you will hear some kind of sound on that letter. But we Ashkenazim, we don't pronounce an aleph and an ayin. And because we don't pronounce it, don't have too much of a conscience about it. But when saying the Shema, to try and think of the fact, just being aware of the fact that there is an ayin in the word, and there is a pronunciation, even if we can't say it. Just think about it at the very least. The Sovoto. Hishomaru lochem. The dot in the shin lengthens the shin. So it's not hisho, it's hisho. That's what that dovish does in the shin. It connects up the here to the shaw, hisha. See the difference between here? If there wouldn't be a dot in the shin, it would be hisha. Two separate sounds. The dot in the shin connects it, so you've got hisha. I can't say hisha. It's not hisha. There'd be two shins there. They're not two shins, there's only one. So therefore it's hisha. Lengthening the letter.
Why is he?
You're doing he. I learnt that a chirik koton, when you haven't got a yud there, and you haven't got a stress on it, if there's a yud, then it's an e. If there's a stress on the chirik, then it's an e as well. When you haven't got, this one hasn't got either.
No.
There's no yud in the word, and there's no stress on the hay. Therefore it's called a chirik koton, not a chirik gadol. And therefore it's not he shomaru, it's he shomaru. And one more thing, if it had a yud there, if imagine there was a yud there, then there couldn't be a dogish in the shin. Because after what's called a long vowel, a smil gadola, you can't have a dogish in the next letter. So except very exceptional cases. So you could not have he shomaru. After a long vowel, you don't have that. It's only after a short vowel that you can have, and regularly after a short vowel, the general rule, what you call short, the short vowels, the four short vowels, a, e, I, u. A, patach, e, segol, I. One dot. Chirik katam, when it's pronounced as an I, and u, kubutz, three dots down. An I and O have the same rule. If you stress an I, it becomes an E. If you stress an O, it becomes an U. So literally, the E dot followed by a yud is always an E and never an I. Even though it's convenient to do I, convenience doesn't make a difference. And a dot with a yud is always pronounced as E, whether it's convenient or not. But a dot on its own without a yud, if it's stressed, it's an E. But if it's not stressed, then it's going to, and there's no yud there, then it's an I. And the same thing with a kubutz with three dots. You've got a kubutz, three dots. When it gets stressed, it changes into a shuruk, into an U. An U is always an U. There is no exception, except for the fact that we English, not to do with Ashkenazim or Sephardim, it's to do with being English. We don't have an U in the middle of a word, if you can jolly well help it. So, therefore, the first word of quite a large number of brachos is not Boruch. I have a son whose name is Boruch. It doesn't make it right. When I pronounce it, it's Bris. I pronounced it correctly, Boruch. It's spelt with a, the word is always spelt with a vav. You don't find Boruch spelt with three dots. You find Boruch spelt with an U, with a vav, a sure vav. And therefore the correct pronunciation is Boruch, not Boruch.
What do you call it when you call it?
Pardon?
What do you call it when you call it?
That's a private question. On one hand, that a person should naturally feel happy with how they are referred to, and if by his father, if I'm going to start calling him a name he's going to feel uncomfortable with, it will ruin every aspect of my relationship with him.
Right.
So therefore I call him exactly the way he wishes to be called, for that reason. I don't try and do anything else. But when it came to when he was had his bris, I mean, as anyway, I just mutilated his body.
Not how you called him a bris, it's how the Rav called him.
I was mechabed myself. Literally, I was mechabed myself to call all my children, all my sons, to give them their names so that I could pronounce it correctly at the bris. After that, nothing to do with me. So literally, it's the only time I've taken a call to myself to do that, for that sake, in order to pronounce the name correctly. And
so as well.
Pardon?
So as well.
It doesn't need it as much. Right? As long as the ksuba is written correctly,
yeah,
it doesn't need to be written.
No.
It's a minhag to read the ksuba. It's a minhag. But here, to call up, literally, kriya shem to bris is such an important mitzvah that I want to
listen to the
video. That's it. Right, so we're saying, so that's the idea of three dots, an O. An O is either an O when it's left on its own and no stress on it. If it's got a stress on it, then it changes from an O to an U. The word va-yo-ku-mu or va-yo-shu-vu in the Torah has got five letters, both of those words. Vov, yud, kuf, mem, e, vov. Vov, yud, kuf, mem, vov. Or vov, yud, shin, vase, vov. So it's three dots under the middle letter there. So it looks like va-yo-ku-mu. It's never. It's always stressed on the kuf. And Vayoshuvu is also not Vayoshuvu. Even though it's got three dots there, it's stressed on the shin. So it's Vayokumu, Vayoshuvu. So that's the way the Torah, the way we have a Kabbalah, Kata Moshe Rabbeinu, how the word is to be written and how the word is to be pronounced. There is no difference between the ku and the mu. Vayoshu and the vu. It's exactly the same vowel there, even though it's written in a different way. That makes no difference. That's the way it's to be done. You'll never find, I don't think anywhere, possibly one, as like almost a clear sieve, but you don't find an O on the last letter of a word. You can find it in the syllable, but you want the last letter will not have three dots, right? The vowels and on the last letter of a word, literally the last letter, you won't find an e on the under the last letter of a word. You won't find an I under the last letter. You won't find an u under the last letter of a word. Right? You do find an a under the last letter, but that's only when you have a mappic he, and it's not in the last vowel. But then whenever the Muppet K, we've got one Muppet K coming up in the whole of the Shema, there's only one Muppet K. You've got the R, when you have a Muppet K with an R, like the famous word we have in Hallel, that's Milifnei Odon Chuli Oretz, Milifnei Elo, Ah. Not Ka, well you can say it like. I can say it without any problem here. I'm saying a word, and it's perfectly okay to put it on tape in any way. Hello. Ah. So it's not ha. It's ah. The word comes twice in the Torah. In Shlishi of Ha'azinu. Both times the word comes in there. The word Elo. Ah. And if somebody reads it, Kriyas HaTorah, and says Elo Ha, he has to be corrected. What he's done, he's literally changed a word in the Torah with a different meaning. So the word has to, it's got to be ah and not ha. But people don't know that. Let's continue.
What does Elo Ha mean?
Pardon?
No, how does it mean?
It can mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it can mean idol.
It can mean an idol.
Like the word Elohim. Elohim Achirim means other gods, G-O-D-S, idols.
So it's Hashem.
It can mean either. The only one of Hashem's names that cannot have any other meaning in the way it is spelt is the name Yud-Kei Vov-Kei. That's the only name that clearly means Hashem with no exception whatsoever. Every other word for Hashem's name you can give me can have a different meaning by the way it is spelt. But the only one that can have no other meaning is Yud-Kei Vov-Kei. It can only be used to mean Hashem's name and nothing else. But every other one, the word Eloheinu, can talking about idols. Every single one can have some other meaning. The name Shin Dalad Yud, the way it's spelt, if you pronounce it as it is, then obviously it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the same hand, exactly the same word can be read as Sodi, my field. Looks exactly the same. There's no dot on the Shin or the Sin. And the word Sodi, so a person writes that down. What makes a word Hashem's name? Only one's Kavono in how you wrote it. If you wrote it with a kavona of being Hashem's name, it has the din of Hashem's name, and you can't rub it out. If you wrote exactly, two people wrote exactly the same writing on a piece of paper, exactly the same one, one says, I write kavona. They wrote both words, they wrote the word Elokeinu, Eloheinu with a he. They both wrote it. One had the intention to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one had the intention to mean our idols. Right? But no more Eloheinu lemaase yodeinu. From Hosea, we shall not call our own work our idols, our gods, G-O-D-S. Right? So two people are exactly the same words, spelled exactly the same way. And one has Kavanah Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one has Kavanah exactly the opposite. One's holy, one is not. To rub one out is doing an Averas, Mamasha and Averas de Raiso. The other one, no problem whatsoever. It's not the word itself. The only word, as I said, Yud Kei Vov Kei, a person writes, there is no other meaning that Yud Kei Vov Kei has other than Hashem Hashem. There is no other word you can make Yud Kei Vov Kei into. It can't be. However, if a person wrote, you find the word in the Gemara, in the Aramaic word, Mi Havo, Mem Yud Hei Vov Hei, and it's from the notion of being. So a person who wrote, Mem, Yud, He, Vov, He. Well, if he wrote it to be Mei Hashem, he's made HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name out of it. If he wrote it to be the word Mi Havo, if he wrote it with that Havono to be the word in the Gemara, you'll find it in the Gemara, so Mi Havo, and then he rubbed out the Mem with the intention of converting that into the Shem Hashem, it's not the Shem Hashem. You can't write the Shem Hashem by converting it out of another word. The Shem Hashem can only be the Shem Hashem. It's written to be the Shem Hashem. So if he interrupts it to be Mi Havo, then it'll always stay Mi Havo. It can't change to anything else.
Same as Aleph Dalet.
I can meet my master. My master, Adoni, finding the Torah. Right, so we'll carry on the Mi Havo.